Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today we're talking about leadership.
Yeah.
In fact, we've titled this 8 Sticky Traits of Uncommon Leaders. And as I think back to the leaders I've had over the years, I can think of lots of sticky things that they did that have stuck with me because of what they did over the years. But you are telling me a few of the ones that you have had, and we were cracking up about
this.
Some
is
of this
stuff leaders that I've been under have either said or did.
Yes.
My high school basketball coach, Coach Goodman, was a great coach, but I had his words reverberating for years after graduation. In practice, he would yell out the words right now. Elmore, I need you at the baseline right now, right now. Sorry if that's, but yeah.
I love the way he
said
that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right now.
The finger down and then right now. And in fact, in college, could still hear his voice when I knew. In fact, whenever I heard the words right now from anybody in normal conversation, I think of Coach Goodman.
It would jolt your attention.
That was a sticky phrase that he would use.
How funny.
Yeah. And then also, before I graduated high school, I met one of my early mentors, Sean Mitchell. I love Sean to this day. But Sean really was my communication mentor without trying to be. He just, I'd watch him speak. He snapped his fingers. Now, I've gotten good at snapping my fingers because Sean taught me how to do it.
Yeah.
I just picked that up. And I know that wasn't what I did before I met, but that leader in my life.
But that's one of the unique things about, obviously, I don't know Sean Mitchell, but when you're on stage and you'll snap to make a point,
that's
everybody in the audience, you know,
that's
sort of jolts to attention, you know, because you don't have a quiet snap,
No, it's not quiet.
Snap plus microphone means you got their attention.
That's right.
So
nothing's
it's one of those things that you do, which is cool.
And then probably my ultimate example, right out of college, I started working for John C. Maxwell. Still to this day, John and I have stayed in touch, just talked to him this last week. But John was just a mentor that had many sticky habits. Most of them were good. I can't share some, but most of them were good. But I remember as a 23-year-old watching John. First of all, he would say to all of us as his staff members, when you're with a group of people that you're about to speak to, walk slowly through the crowds.
Mm.
That was his phrase, walk slowly through the crowds. And what he meant was, don't just be good on stage, be good off stage before and after. Well, you know my habit.
Yes.
I will try to get there at least 30 minutes ahead of time where I'm just talking to people. The mic's set up, the computer's set up, but I'm just doing that. And I don't claim to be some brilliant person. It's a sticky habit that I'm glad he built in me, and I think most of our team does that now.
We do, and I can tell you personally that I got that habit from you. So
how about that?
The value of saying you might walk into a crowd of 1,000 people and go, "Well, I'm not going to talk to 8 people. That's a waste," you know.
Yeah.
But you have the opposite opinion. Connect with those 8, and it'll help you connect with the rest of those 1,000 people.
Well, it does for a number of reasons. One, you get the feel, the tone of 8 is a microcosm of the 1,000.
That's correct.
But secondly, a lot of those other people just happen to see you, and they go, he's real, she's real, and they're connecting. So anyway, sticky habits are good, and we're going to talk about 8 that I think are really good habits of uncommon leaders today.
And I love that second word, because we talked about sticky.
Yeah.
It's great when a leader does something that sticks with people, as long as it's good, right?
Yeah,
we don't want
the
bad things sticking.
Yeah.
But the other word you've used is uncommon.
Yeah.
And I think that we all probably could point to some leaders that we would say, this person did it unlike anybody I've ever seen.
Almost everybody I know says they want to be uncommon in something.
You know,
we want to stand out.
Yeah.
So I love this adjective uncommon. And it really came, it was inspired, at least for me, at an awards banquet I spoke out some time ago. I was a speaker, but before I got up, there was awards given to different recipients in this particular company on the West Coast. And Julia was a manager, still is, but she got an award for being an uncommon leader. Now, what I noticed was her title was manager, but she was so much more than just managing her team. She led them. And in a year of budget cuts, they produced more and generated more revenue than before. It was just an amazing year. And people, standing ovation for Julia. But I thought to myself, this woman is uncommon. Her leadership, not her management, but her leadership was uncommon. And so that got my brain going. And I began to think through about 8 sticky traits that I think are positive, and they're true for uncommon leaders.
I love that. I love that. Don't we all want to be that, as you said?
Yeah.
How our influence grows. You mentioned if your budget gets cut, but you grow the company, yeah. the only way to do that is leadership.
That's
the
right.
only way to uncommon do that is leadership. That's yeah. exactly right. Yeah. So we're going to talk about 8 sticky traits of uncommon leaders. Before we get into it, though, you've done something interesting with this that I've seen you do yeah. in other areas, which is each of these phrases rhyme. And I thought, you know, before we jump into this, I want you to talk about why you do that. You do lots of acronyms and lots yeah. of alliteration yeah. and lots of rhyming. And that's not just to please yourself or to become the next Dr. Seuss. I think you've yes. got some really good reasons why you do that. So speak to that just
well,
for a minute.
Well, I do. And there's many listeners, I'm sure, that do the same thing. The thing I try to watch out for is you don't want to rhyme or do an acronym that feels forced.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's the word and it wasn't all adjectives or it didn't totally rhyme. And or if it did, it had nothing to do with the subject, but the word rhymed. These 8 words I'm about to give you all do rhyme, but I think they're actually legitimate traits that I would want anybody to build, but I think we can remember them.
Yes.
Because they rhyme.
Yeah.
So I remember these, you remember these, but we're about to give you listeners 8 words that you'll, when you're done, you'll go, I know those words, and I think if we practice them, that's when we become very uncommon.
So they're certainly going to be accurate, they're going to be helpful,
yeah.
but they're also going to be memorable
yeah.
because of what we've done. Okay, yeah. well, let's get into it. Number
right.
one.
Number one of the 8 sticky traits. This phrase is one we've all heard.
Yes.
But I wanted to start with it.
Yeah.
I think uncommon leaders are readers.
Yes, yes.
Uncommon leaders are readers. So they're always growing so they can remain ahead of their team or remain ahead of the pack, okay, whatever they're trying to do in their industry.
Yeah.
So I learned this trait from John Maxwell. I started with him in my early 20s, like I said, just out of college, and I watched a leader who was ahead of me, but he stayed ahead of me because he was always reading, always consuming content that made him stay ahead of the game and ahead of the practices of the time. So I've picked this up, and what I try to do every month is I try to read 2 books every month on topics that I know are going to increase my effectiveness as a leader.
That's great.
I subscribe to 11 magazines, and 11 is not a magical number. It's just there's 11 periodicals that I felt like will really help me be better.
So if you were giving somebody advice on that, it's not you have to go find 11.
Correct.
It's find however many yeah. are helpful to you as
4,
you, in 5, your development.
4, 5, 6. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And then I subscribe to 6 podcasts. Many of you that are listening, subscribe to this one. It's just they're saying relevant things to my life that are making me think better thoughts. But the point is, I don't think I'm the greatest leader in the world, but it keeps me growing and moving forward in a world that's rapidly changing. I don't think you can afford to lead today without being a reader today.
Yeah, I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways that you've transferred this practice to our team is that once a month in our lunch and
yeah.
learn, one of our team members stands up and shares what we call a book report.
Yeah.
But it's basically they have read a book that provided some insight yeah. into the way that they're thinking or the way that they're leading. And what's cool, what we've started doing the last few months is we, as growing leaders, we buy a copy of that book and we've started a
yeah.
public library for
yeah.
our team. So if anybody hears a book report and they're like, man, I'd love to read that book, they can check it out from the library.
Yeah.
And that's become a shared space for our team where I think we can all kind of come together and not force this on each other, but provide an environment where we say, you know what, reading is just a part of our
yeah,
growth
DNA.
And development.
Yep.
Yeah, DNA. That's great.
Good. All right. Number two. The second
sticky
trait is uncommon leaders are completers. So here's our rhyming word.
Yes.
But I actually believe that many things are started in our day and not finished. In fact, would you not agree? Probably most people would say, if I made a list of 10 things I started this year, 7 out of 10, I didn't actually follow through on the gym membership or the whatever it was. I think it's uncommon to say, when I start something, I'm going to finish it. So most businesses that start don't succeed. And part of the reason is we have a world of so many options. We can find an easier option quite easily that makes us go, you know what, this didn't look so appealing after all.
Yeah.
I think I can find something else to do. I think uncommon leaders never lose sight of their why or their what.
Mm.
So the why is why do I want to do this? That's my urgency. That's my motivation. And the what is don't forget what your roots were. Didn't we just have a conversation about this? What is it we're trying to do? You were leading a conversation yesterday
yeah.
with about 8 or 10 of us in a room. And it was a little different than we thought because people kept saying, but what are we trying to do?
Yes. And if you're not aware of the what, if you're not aware
yeah.
of the why, then it makes it really difficult to actually finish what you
yeah.
start. In Habitudes lingo, we call this the half-hearted mountain climber.
Yeah, that's right.
And you always start off by saying there is no such thing as a half-hearted mountain climber, right? If you want the title of entrepreneur, or you want the title of graduate, or you want the title of whatever it is, you got to actually finish the job, right? Yeah. And we just want to remind young people, if you get halfway up a mountain, they don't call you a mountain climber. They call you a quitter,
right? That's right, yeah.
And the same thing's true in life. So this is a really
somebody once
message.
Asked me, how long does it take the average person to get a black belt? And the answer was, the average person doesn't get a black belt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So if we want to be uncommon, completer is the thing. Now, if you start 10 things, maybe you go, it's not worth it to do all 10. Then pick your three.
Yes.
Pick your two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finish whatever is most important.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
So that's number two.
Number
three, uncommon leaders are repeaters. Now, I actually believe this is true. I want you to consider this, listener, because you might go, I don't know if I agree with that. But I actually think that great leaders articulate the vision and the mission and the goals over and over and over. And I think they say it creatively. So it's not the same phrase every time, perhaps. They say it constantly. They say it clearly.
Yes.
So the repeater is simply, I find this idea that's so important, I got to find a way to say that every week or every month.
Yes.
I think a great example, we live here in Atlanta, Georgia. A number of years ago, the founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, was this kind of a guy. There were certain values and certain phrases. He started instigating the phrase, it's my pleasure.
Mm.
Now, anybody that's listening to me right now, you would say, yep, when I walk into a Chick-fil-A, somebody who works for Chick-fil-A
if I say thank
say,
you,
that's
yes,
right.
They'll say, it's my pleasure.
That's right.
Yep.
So he learned this from the Ritz-Carlton. They got training from the Ritz-Carlton hotels. And Horst Schulze, the one who founded the Ritz-Carlton, said, I hear Chick-fil-A workers saying the same thing I hear at any other fast food restaurant. You ask for something, they go, okay, uh-huh, or whatever. Nothing wrong with that, but he said, if you want to stand out, you need to say it's my pleasure. Well, Truett Cathy said, he announced to all of his operators 1 year, we're going to say it's my pleasure. It didn't catch on right away.
Mm.
In fact, it took years.
Wow.
People go, oh, yeah, he just said that. That was just a meeting. That was just a conference. And he had to, year after year, instead of getting angry, he got repetitious.
Yes.
And eventually stuck. And today, in every Chick-fil-A restaurant, that's a phrase they use.
Yeah. If you're dead serious, don't get mad. Just keep repeating
that's
what you
right.
want them to say. I've actually heard you say before that leaders should be communicators such that they say the mission or they say the phrase or whatever it is so many times that people are like, why do they keep talking about
it? You're tired of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But the actual unintended or intended consequences, they remember it.
Yeah, that's
and not
right.
only do they remember it, they start practicing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So valuable. So valuable.
Well, I remember when I did the book Generation IY back 9-10 years ago, our marketing strategist said, you've got to talk about this book so much that you're sick and tired of talking about it. But that only then would people go, oh yeah, there's that book called Generation IY.
Yeah.
So whatever your thing is, listeners, find it and just repeat it.
It's like the commercial where they say the phone number three times.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
You got to be the same kind of leader.
That's exactly right. All right, number four.
Let's do it.
The fourth trait of an uncommon leaders are feeders.
Mm.
Okay? Now, I don't mean this food-wise, although we do
believe
in that.
There are some chef leaders who are feeding their teams.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we feed our team.
We do.
Do we
yeah.
not? Okay. But what I mean by this one is they consistently invest in their team, equipping them to grow.
Mm.
So one clear difference, I think, of an uncommon leader is they're not just working in the business, but on the business.
Yeah.
That's a phrase we've said and heard for years and years and years. So I think in business meetings, we need to be careful not to just do business, but to say, I'm going to set apart some of that meeting time for growth.
Mm.
We're going to create a greater practice of this next year, Andrew, here at Growing Leaders. We have a leadership meeting every Monday. As you well know, you're one of the leaders, but Steve and I are committed to say, let's not just do the dashboard, but let's talk about how are we growing as leaders, not just team members. We do that every Monday at Lunch and Learn, but how are we doing this ourselves? So I think you need to, if you want to be an uncommon leader, you need to find a place, how am I feeding my team?
That's great. Well, we have a habitude for self-leadership that we call the starving baker, right? You cannot feed others if you're not feeding yourself. But I think the same thing applies in leadership, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
You have to create environments where people know development is important, feeding myself, developing myself is important, and then give them clarity on all the categories in which you need to develop yourself. If you're feeding yourself mentally, but you're not doing it physically or emotionally or whatever else, then you're going to actually end up falling short, right? So making space for development in all of those areas is so important.
It is. I think one of the things I check on myself, whenever I'm just feeling weary, and when I say weary, I don't just mean physically, although I do get tired, but you know, emotionally weary, intellectual weary, I usually find, not all, but usually find, I've not been feeding myself as much, I've not been fed.
Stepped out of some of your habits,
intellectual
maybe.
Growth, you know, growth for my soul, those kinds of things. They're just critical.
That's
to
so
keep
good.
Going. Yep.
All right, number five.
Number five, the fifth sticky trait of uncommon leaders are seeders. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean, like, as in planting seeds. They're always planting seeds of new ideas to be ready for the future. So companies that we all hear about almost on a weekly basis, like Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon, stand out not just because they've never made mistakes. They actually make lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs was famous for the mistakes he made, but he also is famous for, I will tell the customer what they want, and what they want is a smartphone, you know, that sort of thing. So I think uncommon leaders are always introducing new ideas to their culture in their organization or school, but also to culture in general. Let's try this with our community. How's it working? If it doesn't work really well, maybe we need to tweak it. Maybe we need to give it a facelift. Maybe we need to give it an overhaul. Mm. But we need to always be planting seeds. I don't think you can lead well in the 21st century unless you're seeding the culture around you with new ideas, trying new things.
Yeah, we have called this, and I know this comes from somewhere, I can't remember where, but we've called it shooting bullets instead of cannonballs, right? Yeah.
Jim Collins first.
Jim Collins was the one, yes. So, you know, when you come up with an idea, try it out, right? Mm-hmm. A bullet is much smaller than a cannonball, so that's in reference to resources, right?
Yeah.
You invest a little bit of resources, a little bit of time, a little bit of money into trying an idea. Now, one thing we've been guilty of at Growing Leaders is we put those bullets in a machine gun and fire a lot of them, right?
that's
we
true.
Don't want to do that,
right?
We want to fire two or three bullets in you know, in a year, try out a couple of things, and then when you find something that hits the target for you, then invest into a cannonball and really go after that idea. And I think all the companies that you just listed, those are the companies that have done this so well. It's not that they didn't make mistakes. It's that their mistakes were on a small scale and their successes we're on a grand scale.
Because they planted seeds.
That's exactly
I tell you
right.
what, the company in my knowledge that started this, at least in modern history, was 3M.
Yeah.
They were the ones that first set aside about 20% of their week to let their employees try out new seeds of ideas. And many have never came to fruition, but some did.
Yeah.
You know, the Post-it note that we all use.
Was invented that way.
That was a Friday idea, 20% of that week, where workers were just trying, and they were trying to do something different, but it ended up with this kind of semi-sticky paper that you could peel off quickly, but it stuck enough to write a note on. Yeah.
That's a billion-dollar idea if I've ever heard one.
Absolutely. So that's idea number five.
Awesome. Number six.
The sixth uncommon trait of a sticky leader is I think uncommon leaders are heeders.
Mm.
H-E-E-D-E-R, heeders. They heed. What I mean by this is they pay attention to culture cues so they can adapt when necessary. Now, I've always been a proponent of being a leader who's both timeless and timely, meaning I do keep up with culture, but I know there's some timeless skills, for instance, in the next generation, we need to make sure they don't miss as they grow up. But what I mean by here is I'm looking around at culture and I'm heeding the social cues that we're getting, the culture cues that we're getting, the business cues in our industry that we're getting, and we do adapt. So we don't always adopt every new thing that comes along, but we do adapt.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. I don't just one new trend might be this new latest app on social media that kids love. TikTok, that's not even new, but you know, something like that. I don't think you need to automatically do it.
Yes.
But you need to know what's out there.
Yep.
And how do you
watch
adapt your leadership?
And,
that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really key. I think 21st century leaders that stick, do it.
Yeah, and we're always trying to do this here, be aware of things. It's hard to know when do you pounce on an idea and not, but it's about being aware that everything that you're doing is a drill bit, right? To use one of our habitudes. It's a method to accomplish your mission.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, you can fall so in love with your method that you forget that you need to be willing to switch out that drill bit if you need to in order to get the whole drill the best way.
Well, and here's some companies that were guilty of this. Blockbuster Video.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, 20 years
ago.
Top of the world. Well, they went from the record books to the history books within about a decade. Sears, I remember when Sears and Roebuck was the number one department store. I mean, that was 50 years ago, but now you can't find it. AOL, Kodak, you get the point.
Yeah.
They were left into the dust because they weren't heeding the cues from culture. So we've got to do this in the 21st century.
Yeah,
if we're
that's
lead well.
So good. Yeah. That's so good. All right, number seven.
Number seven. The seventh uncommon trait or sticky trait of uncommon leaders is I think uncommon leaders are pleaders.
Mm.
Now, they plead. Now, let me tell you what I mean by this. Let me summarize it, and then I'll illustrate. They call out the best in those who failed perhaps to meet a standard. So this is really hard for certain temperaments that are in leadership positions because well, that's not the kind of person I am. I'm cut and dry. I'm logical. I'm rational. I believe this appeals to the soul of a person.
Yeah.
What I'm pleading with you, Andrew, I think you can lead this department better. It's because I do believe in you, not because I'm mad. And I'm pleading with you in a good way. Not, I know this could be corny, but I'm pleading with you in a good way, trying to call out the very best Andrew that I know is there. And you have your team members that you might have to do this from time to time. We're not meeting deadlines. This excellence level is not high enough. I think great leaders reach into their own soul and appeal to the soul, let me say the heart, the emotions of another person and say, this is not just about revenue.
Yeah.
This is about the mission we're trying to accomplish.
I think it's because if we acknowledge just sort of natural human tendencies, we would say that it is common for us to lose focus.
Yeah,
it's common for us to lose our drive. It's common for us to lose our enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And a great leader realizes that part of the job, sometimes it's half the job, some days it's all of the job, is to re-inspire and reimagine for on behalf of the people that you're leading that this is what it looks like. And this is why there's lots of people with the title manager, not all of them step into the role of leader, right?
Right. No
it's
doubt.
A totally different thing.
Yep.
To manage them is to keep us on track, hitting our numbers. To lead is to inspire, right?
And go to new places.
Exactly.
So let me keep it real here. I believe there's many common leaders that when a team member may fail to meet a standard, they just ignore it or they go, oh, it's too emotionally expensive to confront that.
Yes.
And they don't confront it.
Yeah.
This is, I think, uncommon leaders confront stuff, but they do it with belief. And they say, I know you can do better. And they plead with that team member to where even if they didn't like it the moment, the team member later goes, I'm so glad she did that or he did that to me.
That's so good. All right. One last one.
One last one. The eighth sticky trait of an uncommon leader. I think uncommon leaders are breeders.
Mm.
Now, I need to quickly clarify what I mean by this. So I believe these leaders are always reproducing leadership skills.
That's great.
In other people.
Yeah.
I'm breeding other leaders. I think many great people have said throughout the years, the chief task of a leader is not create followers, but to create more leaders.
Mm.
Success without a successor is a failure. I really believe that.
Yeah.
So I believe this one's all about, are you checking the box that I'm not only getting my job done that I've been called to do, but I'm finding someone along the way and pouring into them. One of my favorite examples of this isn't super current, but it's 21st century. So in 2005, Michael Eisner stepped down as the CEO of the Disney Enterprise, and he was a well-known CEO of Disney. But Disney started looking outside. Where do we go? And they started looking at major Fortune 100 companies to find their next CEO. And then it dawned on them, we've cultivated this culture in so many great leaders right here within our company. And they come up with Bob Iger, who currently serves as the CEO, an incredible CEO.
Yeah.
I mean, he's purchased and led them into a whole nother level.
Yep.
But Bob Iger has been there 45 years. I mean, under ABC/Disney/ all the other companies that
are think about all the brands that are under them now.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But Bob Iger was developed right from within. He had been working in finance and so forth, but they thought this is the right man and he's right under our nose. My question for you listeners would be, who's right under your nose that could be that next leader? You need to breed leadership skills in them.
And may I add the phrase, way in advance.
Yes,
too.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you got to start thinking about developing the next leader way before you're thinking about you being gone. Because you're probably, if you're growing the way you should, you're probably going to need that leader just by virtue of the organization getting bigger and expanding. Yeah. So that's so important. So important. Well, you've covered eight. I actually want to retouch on those just so we have them one last time. Yeah. Number one was uncommon leaders are readers. So we talked about the importance of being readers, lifelong learners. Uncommon leaders are completers. They finish what they start. Uncommon leaders are repeaters. They continue to repeat the things.
Could you say that one more time?
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry. Uncommon leaders, number four. Uncommon leaders are feeders, right? Yeah. They're feeding the team, developing the team. Number five, uncommon leaders are seeders. They're planting ideas and seeds that will grow into really great ideas later on. Number six, uncommon leaders are heeders. Mm-hmm. They're aware of what's going on in the culture. Yeah. They don't fall behind because of things that are happening. Number seven, uncommon leaders are pleaders, right? They draw out the people, speak to the heart, and inspire, motivate, all those things. And then lastly, uncommon leaders are breeders, which I love that. You know, constantly looking for who's the next person, who's the next person. As I think about growing leaders, we're in this stage where a lot of times we talk about, even on this podcast, we're talking about life skills, you know, emotional intelligence and, you know, personal growth and grit and growth mindset, all those kinds of things. And those things are all great. One of the things I love about, especially in these conversations like this, is I just come back to remembering that the topic of leadership, self-leadership, and also leadership of others is one of the most important things we can be talking about, because having the life skills that you need to have obviously is important for success and personal development and all of that kind of stuff. But we need more leaders out there, and we need more young people who are becoming leaders. And I don't know if you want to speak to that at
all. Well, yeah. And when we say that, when you say that, I know you don't mean power trip leaders that are just into accumulating more power, more money, more authority. It's really about service.
Yeah.
We believe in servant leadership. We believe in life-giving leadership, leadership that breathes life on other people. So we're trying to cultivate this in every one of our team members. There are certainly position leaders here that have a span of care for individuals on their team. But we want to see every team member think like a leader. We just think we're better people when we think like leaders. If I'm a nursing major in college and I learn leadership, I'm a better nurse.
Yeah.
If I'm a business major out of college, but I think like I'm a better business person.
Yeah.
We just think it just makes the world better when we learn the right leadership and we learn it early.
I love this. So please take this, process it yourself, apply it to your life, but also ask the question, how do I help give some of these traits to the young people that I'm developing as well? And if that's you, we actually have a great way to do this, because this is something we were thinking about. You know, and Tim, when he started producing Habitudes, was thinking about leadership way back when. Yeah. But we got more and more questions about, if you were going to put together a leadership program, what would you do?
Yeah.
And so 2 years ago, we launched Habitudes for Building Student Leaders, which is a course. It's got 31 images in it, and it covers all of the major competencies of leadership, but it also addresses what does it mean to be a life-giving leader,
that
topic you were just talking about. If this is you, if you would like to develop young leaders and you just need some material that can become fertile ground where you can plant the seed of the idea of leadership for young people, may I suggest humbly to you, Habitudes for Building Student Leaders, I think, is a really great program that you could utilize. You can find out more about Habitudes for Building Student Leaders at growingleaders.com. Just head there, click on Habitudes, and you'll see more there. Tim, thank you so much for leading us through this conversation. As always, if you would rate this podcast, give it 5 stars, that sort of gets the word out about what we're doing here. Very, very important. If you would like to follow us or connect with us on social media, we love that. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Everywhere you can find us at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. We love connecting with you there. And then lastly, if you have ideas for this podcast, people you want us to interview, things you want us to talk about, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. I was just reading one last week. Well, again, thank you so much, Tim. Thank you guys for listening. Go out there and become great leaders, and we'll see you next time.